97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Up with the sun, gone with the wind. She always said I was lazy. Leaving my home.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox in here along with the Bo Matthews, Carl Middleman. And we always celebrate the Second Amendment here on this show, for sure. And I loved what they did this week at the Range St. Louis West. They had a 2A day where people could come out and learn more about the efforts to protect the Second Amendment all over the place. And one of the fine guests they had came from Gun Owners of America. That is Alex Shea. And we've got him in studio right now. Alex, welcome in, my friend.
Hey, hey, how y'all doing today?
Doing great. Good to see you in person, and we love what Gun Owners does for America.
And we appreciate you and all your support and fantastic radio time you give us. We love being able to speak to people on the waves.
Absolutely. You know, Bo, Alex and I were talking a little bit about, on my show this week, about the shooting, the Super Bowl shooting. And I thought, Alex, you made a great point about the fact that there was a shooting just before the Super Bowl, and there was a shooting just after the Super Bowl, and neither one of those shootings fit the narrative, but it really didn't matter to the gun banners in America.
Right. Well, they want to get that headline. They want it to be quick. They want it to be dirty, and they want it to be fast, and they do not want you to follow up, because when you do follow up with that information, it turns out to be womp womp, not what they're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. Very true. Right. I mean, particularly the one before the Super Bowl.
That one was definitely something that they wanted to be much more catastrophic, but there was a couple of things that happened that were not in their favor. So on its face, when you see it happening, boom, there's a shooting, it's with an AR-15 or some kind of long rifle, and it's in a church. So it fits what they want on the quick and dirty. They get it on there because if it bleeds, it leads, and they wanted it on the airwaves, they wanted it on TV, and they really wanted all eyes, because all eyes in America were on that Super Bowl. And now, when it comes out that this person was a person that doesn't fit their narrative, that this person had Free Palestine written on the side of their weapon, and when this person used a 5-year-old child as a human shield, but here's the kicker, the thing that they absolutely positively cannot stand about it is that armed church security eliminated the threat in seconds. Like, there was only one actual casualty outside of the shooter and the child that was being used as a shield, because church security eliminated the threat instantly.
And Alex, there's no loss of noticing that it's a good guy with a gun. This show definitely talks about good guy with a gun stories, mm-hmm. and that's it. That's law enforcement. That's the public, if they're trained, and that's why we always stress training on this show. But now, Mark, did you misspeak, because you said before the Super Bowl that was the Joel Osteen church thing, right?
Yep. Yes.
And then after the Super Bowl itself, or the
no, are you just after talking about the parade? I mean, before the big game that happened, I think the day before, right?
Right.
Yeah, and then of course the shooting at the Super Bowl parade a week later when they got back to Kansas City. So I mean, it sort of bookended it, right?
Yeah, and it's wild. It's wild video when you see the one where it looks like somebody dropped a drop of water in an oil, because it just like spread, because you could see that one vantage point and the person was just spinning around shooting. It's just insanity. But that's what people, they think of guns, they think of that. No, this is why we stress training, cleaning your weapon, getting familiar so it's second nature, because when it does go down, you've got to be ready. And Alex, you probably know better than anybody.
Oh, absolutely. So one of the six sad truths of this world, and I mention this all the time, and I mentioned it before, is that we live in a society where we have this delusional belief that police are here to protect and to serve. Police have a very important function. I love the police. I used to put police back together as a profession. I was a combat medic with the 202nd Military Police Company. I get it. I love them. They're good folks. But they are civilians, just like we are civilians, and they have no duty to protect you. There's been 6 Supreme Court cases that say specifically there is no duty to protect anyone, with the one exception of, yes, it does have, they do have to protect you if you are in custody. So if you are under arrest and if you are in, like, the back of the car or in a jail cell, they have a duty to protect you, but that's the only time. So when you look at the stories like we had in Parkland with the coward of Broward, or the events of Uvalde, and you see these police officers that are there with guns, with body armor, and they should be engaging the threat, but they don't, it's technically, morally and ethically apprehensible whenever we look at it, but by their policies or guidelines, they don't have to sacrifice themselves for us. And it's kind of selfish of us to believe that they should. So you are your own first responder. Get, what is it, as they say, stay strapped or get clapped?
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, we don't think about that. And I mean, it's a good point. They often run toward the gunfire, mm-hmm. but as the cases you pointed out, not always.
Well, that is because just like you or I consider myself a law-abiding citizen with training. Like I said, I was in the military. I'm a USCCA instructor. I have been in ranges for the better part of a decade now, getting better every day, training as much as I can. I intend wholeheartedly that I would, because the greatest disaster to me, the greatest thing that could happen that would be devastating to Alex Shea is that if I were in a position to help someone and I didn't, that would be right. My greatest fear. If I didn't help my family, if I didn't help my friend, even if I didn't help an innocent bystander, I want to be that person. That's a personal choice that I have to make. So yes, when you do see police officers, firefighters, EMTs, or a good guy with a gun, or even a good guy without a gun, but when you see humans make a decision to engage a threat, to eliminate a threat, that is a choice that they're making as an individual. That is not a policy that's enforceable by law. That is not something only soldiers have an actual duty to follow orders, but soldiers are in a separate category altogether of sure, people. They're not considered civilians. Right. They have their own uniform code of military justice. You can order a soldier to take off his mask and to see if there's nerve gas in a room. You can order a soldier to storm a hill. But when it comes to police or civilians, when a police officer makes a choice to run into or to do something that is heroic, like the ones that we saw in Tennessee when they were engaging that shooter a transgender shooter that wanted to target schools, that person targeted that school specifically because of its lack of armed security versus the other ones that they profiled, and they found that there was armed security and were like, well, that's too hard of a target. So they went for the soft target. They created a bunch of havoc. Those police officers went in and engaged. However, that was more of a personal choice for them than it was a policy that is enforceable. There is no policy that can be enforced in that regard.
That's why I wish that they would release the video of the shooting at the school here in St. Louis. It happened 15 months ago. Performing Arts Center, former student, blasted out a window and got into a school through a door, glass door, and ended up killing several people and then got taken down himself. Got taken down in a matter of minutes because police officers who didn't even have body armor or anything, some of them were off duty, rushed into that school and eliminated the threat. Now, the police chief here so far refused to release any of the body cam video, won't release the report on it or anything. I wish people could learn the heroic story of what some of these police officers and first responders do. To your point, you also need to accept that you have the responsibility first and foremost to defend yourself, and then you can hope there's a good guy around. Correct. After that, right?
Yeah, that would be the best hope for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like I said, you get training, you be calm, cool, collected, and confident in your ability to operate and maintain whatever apparatus you choose to use to protect yourself, whether it be a laser, phaser, taser, firearm, bat, rat, cat in a box with a fox, whatever you want to do, but you got to do it. You got to be smooth with it.
I will say this. I had a conversation with the sheriff of my county about a year ago, and he said, you know, the uniform is the uniform, but really there's only a small percentage of civilians or law enforcement that will go towards that fire. And correct. That's why the Uvalde situation happened the way it was. But, you know, hats off to the law enforcement for even coming in after 911's call. But as you know, we talk about whether you should carry one in the chamber where you got a racket, and there's different mindsets on it. I think it's quicker if you carry a round in the chamber and ready to go. It's a split second, but a split second's a split second. 911 is 10, 15 minutes. So
that's
why
world,
it's
yeah.
so important to train that way and to carry safely. It's just the world's changing so much, but when I leave the house, I'm usually carrying and because you don't know when somebody at the Walmart's going to flip out
right.
and go nuts. I mean, it's just that quick.
Well, it's like this. I tell, you know, all the ladies and gentlemen and kiddos, I'm like, hey, listen, you know, lions, tigers, bears, murderers, rapists, these are all naturally occurring phenomena. They're not, you know what I mean? They're not labeled. They're not going to give you a time and a date. They're not going to be like, hey, there's going to be a murder today. Ready at 3 o'clock. That's not how life works. So because you're going to continuously live in the chaotic world that we do live in, we can hope and pray for the best. And I encourage you to do so. But when the fecal matter hits the oscillating fan blades, you are going to be the one who has to respond to it in real time. And once again, I'm not ragging on cops. I love police officers, and they do a thankless job, and they have it rough. But even they will tell you, when you call them, they're going to be there to investigate the murder. They're going to be there to draw the chalk outline for you. But they're not going to be there in any reasonable amount of time, because we're talking about when seconds matter, they're minutes away. Just like you said, when you call 911, those wheels start turning, but you have to make a phone call. That phone call has to go to an operator. That operator has to tell this person what you are, who you are, what you look like, where you live, and they have to start rolling. They'll get that information as they're rolling, but they need that information before. And then, of course, if you're in a city like this one, you're going to have traffic. You're going to have other things. First you're going to be spread thin, and then you have to get across God knows what to get to someone. But that's why... For example, I teach first aid, CPR, AED, stop the bleed, because if you have a cardiac event, I need to start CPR immediately. I need to get you attached to an AED immediately. If there's a fire in my house, I should have a fire extinguisher. I should have a fire escape plan. These are things that I should know and be proficient. And we are always encouraging people to do that. We always tell our kids. We always tell our churches, like, hey, you should have a fire escape plan. Hey, you should know how to do CPR. But then all of a sudden, when it comes to, hey, you should really stop that person from killing you, they're like, whoa, 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 what's this? And it's like, no, right. I should have the ability to understand how to, once again, be calm, cool, collected, and confident in my ability to use whatever method or technology I need to help myself. Because that AED putting 600 joules of electricity into someone's heart to get it restarted, that's pretty advanced technology.
Yes.
You know, that's not like something that I could just do. Unless I had the training, unless I had the equipment, just like a firearm. A firearm is there to assist you. What is it they say? That God didn't make men equal. Samuel Colt did. You know? So when it comes to... Right. Now, I'm a 300-pound gorilla. Maybe I could fight, you know, one guy, but I'm not trying to fight two guys, and I'm definitely not trying to fight three guys, and I'm certainly not trying to fight someone with a firearm. But imagine if I was like a 98-pound, you know, blonde lady who doesn't have the same kind of physicality that I have. So me running towards that person or getting a hold of them, people are like, well, what about a taser? What about a knife? I'm like, yeah, sure. If you're good, if you're a ninja, great. Then you're going to be wonderful at this. But if you're not and you have 300 pounds of momentum coming at you, when that contact is made, that's like a linebacker going straight through you. So, you know, get a firearm, get trained, and be ready to create your own equalizing force when it comes to you facing off against something like that.
I love that. I love that analogy. I think a Terry Tate office linebacker when I think of that, right? Just out of nowhere. Yeah. Just taking you out, right? Yeah. Alex Shea, our guest from Gun Owners of America. You know, Alex, we have guests on from Gun Owners fairly regularly, but I remind people all the time, they go to gunowners.org, they can find out more about the great fight your organization puts up on our behalf in states across the country, including next door here across the river in Illinois, I'm pointing the wrong direction, where we've got J.B. Pritzker, the gun grabber extraordinaire, who's now made it illegal for somebody to go buy a Ruger Mini 14 or a AR-15. I mean, there's so many guns they banned over there. That's tied up in court. I know it's one of many challenges you guys are part of.
Oh, absolutely. And it is tireless. So when you look at instances like Pritzker in Illinois, or when you look at Hochul in New York, or when you look at Newsom in California, these kinds of folks who absolutely positively do not understand what shall not be infringed means, this is a plan, this is a strategy. This isn't because we like to believe it's because they're thick-skulled or that they're somehow like they ate paint chips as a kid and they just aren't getting it. But honestly, it is a strategy, and the strategy is to run out the clock. So yes. They are very upset that we have the Bruin decision. They're very upset that we have the Heller decision. They're very upset about Caetano, and all of these things are going to destroy everything that they're doing. So Caetano states anything more than 200,000 is protected under the Second Amendment. So that was a case that was specifically about electronic stun guns, and now it pertains to all aid, all Second Amendment things. And then, you know, your Heller decision says that you do have the individual right to own a firearm and keep it on your person, not just inside the home. And then, of course, the Bruin decision says that text, history, and tradition is the way that it should be read. So shall not be infringed means shall not be infringed.
Right.
And we're going to get there. But what I said was they are using this as a strategy. They are using this to eliminate the Supreme Court justices. So right now we enjoy a very conservative court, but they hate that. And so they put up these laws that they know are going to get struck down because it's going to take 7 to 10 years or 15 years. Just think about like Roe v. Wade. That took, you know, 50. Almost 50 years to get overturned. Yeah. We're on the verge of another incredible victory, which will be Loper versus Raimondo. And that was from 1984. So that's the Chevron case. And that Chevron deference that gives the ATF the ability to just create law, create whatever they want to. The EPA, the FCC, the SEC, all these things can just create regulation, and they can not only do they create it, and then they enforce it with rule of law, with, you know, criminal penalties where they can be fined or confined or killed to uphold these things. But then they, because of Chevron deference, they've had the ability to just say, well, the Supreme Court has to defer to us because we are the subject matter experts. And because of that, they have all three powers of all three branches of government in the executive branch. And that's been true since 1984. Once this case goes through, Loper versus Raimondo, and this we'll probably get that decision in June, most likely, in my opinion, I'm not a lawyer, my parents love me, but in my opinion, they will have that struck down in June, and then they will only be able to enforce law as it is written.
So wow, things, shocking.
Right, as like they intended it to be. So frames and receivers, force reset triggers, bump stocks, pistol braces, all those things are not specifically addressed in law, so they will have to go to the legislature to specifically address them, and then they can create law that might apply to it, but they'll no longer be able to just whimsically, you know, have a pistol brace ban, wow, for example, and create 40 million felons. But I digress. The point of this conversation was, they are passing these laws to get them jammed up into court, to run down money from organizations like myself, GOA, FPC, Second Amendment Foundation. They're trying to burn up our money, and they're also trying to run out the clock. They want those Supreme Court justices to pass away. Yep. Or yep, to retire or be replaced. So if they can, that's what they would have. That's what they would have if they could. And that's what they're trying to do. So when you see stuff like this that you absolutely know is garbage and will not stand scrutiny in court at the appellate level or the federal level or the Supreme Court level, they're not doing it because they think it has a, you know, snowball's chance in hell. They're doing it because they are hoping that they run the court out.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good point.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. It is Bo Matthews and Mark Cox. And I'll tell you what, Alex has such a cool background. I want to find out the genesis of his connection with Gun Owners of America. So stay right there. We're going to talk to Alex a little bit more on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Welcome back. It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, where we always celebrate the fight to protect the Second Amendment. And boy, I tell you, nobody is doing that better than the folks at Gun Owners of America.
And we do preach train, shoot, go out to the range, get some shots through your gun so you're familiar with it. And man, with these temperatures, Mark, there's no excuse. I know the range is an indoor shooting range, but there are several outdoor ranges that you can take advantage of.
Yeah, it's been a fantastic February so far. Hopefully you've been able to get out and enjoy it. But again, back to our friends at Gun Owners of America. Alex, Shay, listen, we appreciate all you do. I know you probably cover a lot of that at the range this week. And
oh, yeah.
I love the fact that you came in and spent some time out there with those
absolutely
fine folks.
Yeah, come down. And anybody can talk to me anytime. I'm always open to have these really base discussions.
Yes.
I can do it all day, every day. I never run out of energy when it comes to talking about
proven that,
minute.
Yeah.
Well, we love it.
Alex, I just want to say thanks for your service to this country and to your fellow Americans and what you're doing now. Just real quick, how did you get involved with Gun Owners of America? And how long ago was that?
This is a good story. So it was about 8 years ago now, but okay, what had happened was controversial, I know. The shooting at Mandalay Bay had occurred. So Mandalay Bay was where the government claims that a man you know, carried like 400 pounds of weapons into a hotel and then used a bump stock to open fire on a crowd of people. And to this day, outside of like, you know, Wounded Knee or any other government entity killing people, it was the highest like civilian kills.
Right.
I think like 500 and some odd people were injured or killed in that instance. And it was pretty crazy. So the claim was it was bump stocks. And so I did what any red-blooded American would do, and I immediately signed up for a Second Amendment organization. I'm not going to name this three-letter Second Amendment organization. It was not GOA, not FPC, not Second Amendment Foundation, so I'll leave it to your imagination as to what it is.
Yeah.
But I bought a five-year membership, and it cost me about $500. And 1 week later, that organization wrote the bump stock ban and encouraged President Trump to enforce it. So I was like, that's not very cash money of you, three-letter organization. This sounds like, I'm not allowed to curse on here, so I'm not going to do it. But it sounded bad, and yeah. I was very upset. And so I reached out to that organization for 6 months, and I basically harassed them on social media and in writing and on the phone and over and over and over and over and over and over. And to the best of my knowledge, I'm the only person in the history of the world to ever get money back from that organization. I got $500 back. And I spoke to my then supervisor, who was a prior service Marine. His name was Andrew Dobbs. He's an awesome dude. And he told me, well, yeah, no duh, you messed up. Like, there's only one no compromise gun lobby in the United States, and that's Gun Owners of America. And I did my research, man. I was not going to get burned twice. I went on the internet. I burned it up. I called the phone lines. I was like, what about this? What about this? What have you done here? What is that? And then I couldn't find any instance of them ever compromising on the Second Amendment, which was huge to me. And then I started calling the actual headquarters, the main office in Springfield. And I was like, hey, my name's Alex Shea. I need pamphlets. Hey, my name's Alex Shea. Send me some swag. Hey, my name's Alex Shea. Give me some stickers. Hey, my name's Alex Shea. I need more pamphlets. Now, I was working at a multi-million-dollar range called Defense in Depth in Morgantown, West Virginia. And so I had about 2,000 members that were coming in regularly. So I was signing up, and I got up to about 700 signups before they were like, who is this person and what is happening?
And then you clicked on their careers page.
Yeah. Well, what actually ended up happening was they sent one of their directors to come like secret shop the store to see where, because to them, they just were sending some random person a bunch of stuff, and they thought I was some kind of plant. They thought I was some kind of entity trying to suck out their resources. Yeah. And so they came down, audited the event. And when the guy hit the door, I was right there at the door, and I greet everyone, and I had a pamphlet in my hand, and I said, hello, fine citizen. Have you heard the word of GOA? Let me give you a tour of our fantastic facility. And then I would just walk around and show him every single thing we had. It's a 20,000 square foot facility, $30,000 virtual reality simulator, 25-yard range lanes, robots that go up, down, left, right, you know, strobe light, no light, whatever you want to do. And he was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. You know, what do you want to do? And I was like, oh, I don't know. What are you asking me? He's like, we're going to make you a field rep. So that's like the lowest of the possible things that you can be as a volunteer.
Still, though.
And then after about, I don't know, 6 months, they promoted me to the West Virginia State Director. And at that time, I went to SHOT Show, and I, you know, was able to go and talk and make deals and started Caliber Club, which Caliber Club, I'm the Caliber Club director now. And that was a program that was born very much from Gun Owners of America, but also I have a great influence over because of my experiences at Defense in Depth. Because I was the event and membership coordinator there, I'm able to go to ranges and I'm able to help them. And so with Caliber Club, we encourage our 2.5 million members to support these local ranges and retailers. And I like to call them FOBs. Like, instead of a forward operating base like we had in the military, they're a freedom operating base.
Nice.
And I want them to have that. So I want to encourage my members to go to this freedom operating base, and I want our freedom operating bases to have strategic partnerships. So we negotiate incredible deals so that those ranges can have better profit margins, but we need them to have better profit margins because we need them to continue to perpetuate freedom. And you have incredible ranges like the range here in St. Louis.
Absolutely.
Where they are doing it. They're promoting freedom. They're getting lessons. They have women's days, and they have, you know, incredible training, USCCA certified training. I mean, they're doing it right, and that's exactly the kind of facility that we want to see everywhere. And I want to do everything I can to make them more successful.
Outstanding.
Good stuff.
Well said, my friend. Well, we appreciate all that you do. TheRangeSTL.com, by the way, if you want to go out and pay a visit to the range and find out what Alex is talking about. And I mention that again because 14803 Manchester Road in Baldwin, veteran-owned, locally owned. I love that you support them. Thank you.
They're incredible.
You bet.
Thank you.
Alex Shea, gunowners.org is their website. We appreciate all you do, brother.
Thank you.
Keep up the good fight.
Right. Heck yeah.
Safe travels, brother.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
No kidding.
Okay. We've got more of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors coming up next. Stay right there. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews alongside Mark Cox, and we are talking all things firearms, outdoors. It's a great show, and we appreciate you listening. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. They are in De Pere on Manchester Road, just east of 270. And really, if you have never been in that store, I encourage you to go, especially because they have the greatest selection of suppressors, and they can help you get that process going. Check them out at RazorbackArmory.com or just head to the store and say hey to Jesse and Brad and tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory. Our next guest on the show, Matt Murray, is an Outdoor Education Center Specialist at the J. Henry Shooting Range and Outdoor Education Center for the Missouri Department of Conservation. And this is a welcome guest because the show that we have here is a great megaphone to talk about all things that you guys are doing out there. Matt, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, Bo and Mark. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Tell us what you got going on as we get warmer temperatures coming in. You got 12 months of hunting, angling, and shooting. Let's talk about some of the things that are going on with the Missouri Department of Conservation.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got this new program that we started in January. We call it the 12 months of beginning hunting, angling, and shooting in 2024 for St. Louis area. So we've noticed that some of the hardest parts of taking on something new can often be taking that first step. So we've decided to kick off a year of new beginnings in hunting, angling, and shooting, which is a series of free programs throughout 2024 designed to help newcomers get an easy, fun, and safe start on outdoor recreation. So each class is taught by Missouri Department of Conservation experts and tailored to the needs of beginners. So every month, MDC will announce a new set of programs geared specifically to the season at hand. So we will supply all of the equipment needed. And we will invite you to sign up for all classes or just one or as many as you would like. So pre-registration is required, but the programs are free. And the classes will be held at various MDC sites in St. Louis region, such as the August A. Bush Shooting Range, which is in Defiance, J. Handy Shooting Range, which I'm out of, which is in Eureka. One of the other programs or places we do is the Fishery Hatchery Building in Forest Park in St. Louis. And so those are just some of the common places we have some of these programs. So we're introducing the programs. Some of the programs that we did last month, some of the highlights, we did a women's pheasant hunt. We did a youth pheasant hunt. We did some intro to fly tying, all about trout, some spinning reel maintenance, basics of modern sporting reloading, beginning shotgun, and a bunch of different classes. So we've got a lot going on this month, some of the programs that we're highlighting for this month. So if you're looking to get into hunting, it's one of the great places to start is hunter education. So hunter education is required for any hunter born on or after January 1st, 1967. And there are a few exceptions to that, and that can all be found on our website. There's a couple different options
Dang,
you can take.
Just missed it.
Hello.
He's teasing you, Matt. He was joking that he just missed that cutoff for hunter education, but he's much older than that. So
I gotcha. So funny. So all right. So yeah, we've got a couple different options. So there's a couple different steps. You can do the first option, which is ages 11 and older, and that is a kind of a hybrid, and so that's a knowledge portion on our website, and then you do a skills session in person, and then if you're 16 or older, you can do an online-only course, and so the caveat for the hunter education, we'd use the third-party organization that provides all of the materials and the class supplies, so there is a fee associated with that, but the class session is free, and so you can sign up for those. So that's a great place to start if you're wanting to get into hunting. It'll get you the basics of firearms and hunting basics and safety. So we're also doing some intro to turkey hunting at the August A. Bush shooting range, and so the intro to turkey hunting will get you the basics of turkey calling, blind placement, when to call, when not to call, and the basics of that. So that's a great one with turkey season coming up.
I do have to say, Matt, as we work our way down this list, I think it's the next one that Bo Matthews will agree that I should attend. So go ahead.
Hey, now. What are we talking about?
The deer
about?
Scouting?
Yeah, that's it.
Nope. You know, you find them on your roads just fine, buddy. You're fine there.
So the deer scouting is a good one. It'll get you to pick up on the signs of deer, where to place your blind, where your tree stand. The interesting part about this class is it's not necessarily focused on just hunters. So if you're interested in photography or wildlife viewing or just enjoying some time out in nature, this can also be a good one for you, just to kind of get more in touch and see the deer signs and just kind of be get better photos or whatever. That's great. So that's kind of an interesting part of that.
we joke around here that Mark is an old Indian word for bad hunter, because I go deer hunting a lot. I don't often bring back a whole lot of deer, particularly the big ones that I've been looking for. So,
but you are a good pheasant hunter.
I'm a good pheasant hunter. Maybe that's the one I'll look at. I wanted to get back to that for a minute, Matt, because you mentioned you did the women's pheasant hunt, the youth pheasant hunt. How do you do those? Like, because I know when I go pheasant hunting locally, it's usually to like Wild Boar Creek out in Herman, or maybe Will Knorr, where you do a staged hunt. Basically, you buy the birds and they take them into the field and set them out for you, and then you hunt with the dog. So when you do those, how do you do them?
Correct. Yeah, that's it's more of the stage hunt. So we do have sort of a set course. These two, I believe they were out at August A. Bush, and they do kind of a stage hunt. So they have a set course that you'll walk through. They have different areas, so you pay for the bird, or we pay for the birds, actually. And then we teach you the basics of pheasant hunting, and we get you some trap shooting experience before. And then we take you out there and a general area where it's going to be. And then from there, we kind of let you do your thing and have your experience. And then from there, we'll help you clean it and let you know how to, if you're wanting to keep those feathers, so what to do to preserve some of those feathers, things like that. So we kind of walk you through the start to finish in that program.
You know, I think a lot of people don't realize what a great resource that the Missouri Department of Conservation is, whether it's hunting or just outdoor activities. If you get the magazine, that's always a great bump. But usually people that you talk to that, maybe just moved to the country, maybe just got a couple of acres, you need to look into the Missouri Department of Conservation at their website and see all. I mean, listen to what Matt's talking about. There's so much, and it's great experiences, some of it outdoors, a lot of it outdoors. This is just a great opportunity to take advantage of what they offer. Don't you agree, Mark?
Oh, no, I would agree completely. In fact, Jay Hinges, where you are down there, Matt, my son, for I think 3 or 4 years, competed on Team Hinges, the trap shooting club that operates out of the Jay Hinges shooting range. And, I mean, what a fantastic experience for him. He was, I don't know, maybe 12 or 13 when he started, and it's safety first. That's what they drill into these kids' heads. But you've got, you've got 9-10-year-old kids out there learning to shoot trap with a shotgun, always safe. They're out there on Saturday morning starting in January when it's freezing. It builds character. I just can't say enough about all that particular program at Hinges.
Yeah, I agree. It's a great program. We enjoy having them. They've started up their season already, so Saturday mornings they're coming in early. And they're right there at opening gate and willing and ready to set up and get things rolling. So,
is this is this the first time you guys have put together a year long calendar like this? Because that's a lot of moving parts to organize. It's like herding cats.
Yeah, so in recent years, yes, I believe this is the first time we've done this. So, but we're trying to really kind of follow through with that start to finish and try and do a really full comprehensive program to where, you know, you feel empowered, to where you can go out and kind of remove those barriers, to where you can go out and feel like I can actually do this on my own. And so we want to be able to get people out there and to do that.
Well, let's talk quickly about the fly fishing that you got coming up. That's going to be in March as well. It looks like March 16th. I'm going salmon fishing, and they basically fly fish for the salmon up there in Alaska. And I know a lot of people love to fish for trout. Tell people what that involves if they're interested in learning more about fly fishing.
Sure. So the fly fishing program is on March 16th. We'll be meeting at Augusta Bush Memorial area from 9 to noon. And so we kind of start from the basics. So we work on fishing rod terminology, talk about the different parts of the fly rod, you know, reel, line weight, different tapers, all that stuff. So, you know, you hear a lot of, if you kind of go and hear the fly shop talk, it kind of seems intimidating, but we kind of break that down to where it's a lot more approachable and a lot more attainable. And so we have all the fly rods, we have flies, and we'll practice casting, which is a lot of hang-ups that people get is with their casting. And so we try and make it as simple as possible and break it down so, again, it is as attainable as possible. And then once you kind of feel comfortable doing some casting, we're at one of our educational lakes at Bush, and we hop on in and throw a fly out there.
That's fantastic. You know, my biggest challenge, I'm almost embarrassed to admit this.
Do it.
My biggest challenge with fly fishing these days.
Yeah, do it.
I went to Glacier National Park last summer. I took my fly rod.
The open water.
I had my waders on. I was out there. I was casting. And, of course, I snagged my fly. I snagged my fly on a tree, broke the line, and I had forgotten my glasses back in the car, and I could not get the line through the eye of that little fly without my glasses. I was blind.
Uh-huh.
It's just one of the many things they probably teach you fly fishing day, that if you can't see up close, take your glasses, because those flies are really small.
Now Matt has lesson number one.
Yeah. If you use glasses, be sure you take them, because that was certainly a big challenge. Well, I'll tell you what, Matt, that sounds like a fantastic program. I hope we've been able to give people sort of some insight on it here. And I guess the easiest thing to do for anybody who wants to sign up is just go to the website, right?
Correct. So to sign up or just to even see what programs are available, you can go to MDC, so as in Missouri Department of Conservation, so mdc.mo.gov/events. Or if you just go to the Missouri Department of Conservation's main webpage, in the top right-hand corner, there's an events tab. You can click on that, and that'll take you to the main page. There's also a link to the Hunter Education Skills courses that you can pick from. You can see all of the programs that are posted throughout the state, and then you can verify where you're at within the state and narrow it down to your region. But there are some pretty good ones that are worth traveling for, so keep an eye out for some of those, because sometimes around the state, it's worth going a little bit for.
Yeah, I'll bet. Well, Matt Murray, we certainly appreciate your time. Missouri Department of Conservation out there at Jay Hinges. He's an education center specialist. Listen, have a great summer, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you. You too. Hopefully we'll see you out there.
All right. We appreciate that. Yeah, that's SIBO, all kinds of things. I can learn to see my flies and tie them and all that stuff right there.
just remember your cheaters. You'll be fine.
I was so mad. I was knee deep in a beautiful river wanting to cast my fly rod, and I couldn't get the fly tied because
were you
I
done?
Couldn't see it.
Were you just done? You got out of there and went home?
No, I had to change to a bigger fly, which is not good because the fish feed on certain types of flies at certain times of the year, and I had bigger flies with me, but it wasn't the little, you know, tsetse looking fly that I was supposed to be fishing with at the moment. So that was a little embarrassing, I'll have to say.
Well, and you told it all about us on the radio.
to the world. Okay, man. We're keeping it real. That's what we do.
I think the coolest thing about the conservation department is they find the most patient people in the world to deal with all these first-time experiences. I mean, people don't know a thing about, you know, hunting or shooting or what. That's just crazy. Anyway, hats off to them for all they do.
Amen. Hey, that does it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
All right, buddy. Have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll see you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews alongside Mark Cox, and we are talking all things firearms, outdoors. It's a great show, and we appreciate you listening. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. They are in De Pere on Manchester Road, just east of 270. And really, if you have never been in that store, I encourage you to go, especially because they have the greatest selection of suppressors, and they can help you get that process going. Check them out at RazorbackArmory.com, or just head to the store and say hey to Jesse and Brad and tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory. Our next guest on the show, Matt Murray, is an Outdoor Education Center specialist at the J. Henry Shooting Range and Outdoor Education Center for the Missouri Department of Conservation. And this is a welcome guest because the show that we have here is a great megaphone to talk about all things that you guys are doing out there. Matt, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, Bo and Mark. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Tell us what you got going on as we get warmer temperatures coming in. You got 12 months of hunting, angling, and shooting. Let's talk about some of the things that are going on with the Missouri Department of Conservation.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got this new program that we started in January. We call it the 12 months of beginning hunting, angling, and shooting in 2024 for St. Louis area. So we've noticed that some of the hardest parts of taking on something new can often be taking that first step. So we've decided to kick off a year of new beginnings in hunting, angling, and shooting, which is a series of free programs throughout 2024 designed to help newcomers get an easy, fun, and safe start on outdoor recreation. So each class is taught by Missouri Department of Conservation experts and tailored to the needs of beginners. So every month, MDC will announce a new set of programs geared specifically to the season at hand. So we will supply all of the equipment needed. And we will invite you to sign up for all classes or just one or as many as you would like. So pre-registration is required, but the programs are free. And the classes will be held at various MDC sites in St. Louis region, such as the August A. Bush Shooting Range, which is in Defiance, J. Handa Shooting Range, which I'm out of, which is in Eureka. One of the other programs or places we do is the Fishery Hatchery Building in Forest Park in St. Louis. And so those are just some of the common places we have some of these programs. So we're introducing the programs. Some of the programs that we did last month, some of the highlights, we did a women's pheasant hunt. We did a youth pheasant hunt. We did some intro to fly tying, all about trout, some spinning reel maintenance, basics of modern sporting reloading, beginning shotgun, and a bunch of different classes. So we've got a lot going on this month, some of the programs that we're highlighting for this month. So if you're looking to get into hunting, it's one of the great places to start is hunter education. So hunter education is required for any hunter born on or after January 1st, 1967. And there are a few exceptions to that, and that can all be found on our website. There's a couple different options you can take.
Just missed it.
Hello.
He's teasing you, Matt. He was joking that he just missed that cutoff for hunter education, but he's much older than that. So
I gotcha. So funny. So all right. So yeah, we've got a couple different options. So there's a couple different steps. You can do the first option, which is ages 11 and older, and that is a kind of a hybrid, and so that's a knowledge portion on our website, and then you do a skills session in person, and then if you're 16 or older, you can do an online-only course, and so the caveat for the hunter education, we'd use the third-party organization that provides all of the materials and the class supplies, so there is a fee associated with that, but the class session is free, and so you can sign up for those. So that's a great place to start if you're wanting to get into hunting. It'll get you the basics of firearms and hunting basics and safety. So we're also doing some intro to turkey hunting at the August A. Bush shooting range, and so the intro to turkey hunting will get you the basics of turkey calling, blind placement, when to call, when not to call, and the basics of that. So that's a great one with turkey season coming up.
I do have to say, Matt, as we work our way down this list, I think it's the next one that Bo Matthews will agree that I should attend. So go ahead.
Hey, now. What are we talking about?
The deer scouting?
Yeah, that's it.
Nope. You know, you find them on your roads just fine, buddy. You're fine there.
So the deer scouting is a good one. It'll get you to pick up on the signs of deer, where to place your blind, where your tree stand. The interesting part about this class is it's not necessarily focused on just hunters. So if you're interested in photography or wildlife viewing or just enjoying some time out in nature, this can also be a good one for you, just to kind of get more in touch and see that the deer signs and just kind of be get better photos or whatever. That's great. So that's kind of an interesting part of that.
we joke around here that Mark is an old Indian word for bad hunter, because I go deer hunting a lot. I don't often bring back a whole lot of deer, particularly the big ones that I've been looking for. So,
but you are a good pheasant hunter.
I'm a good pheasant hunter. Maybe that's the one I'll look at. I wanted to get back to that for a minute, Matt, because you mentioned you did the women's pheasant hunt, the youth pheasant hunt. How do you do those? Like, because I know when I go pheasant hunting locally, it's usually to like Wild Boar Creek out in Herman, or maybe Will Knorr, where you do a staged hunt. Basically, you buy the birds and they take them into the field and set them out for you, and then you hunt with the dog. So when you do those, how do you do them?
Correct. Yeah, that's it's more of the stage hunt. So we do have sort of a set course. These two, I believe they were out at August A. Bush, and they do kind of a stage hunt. So they have a set course that you'll walk through. They have different areas, so you pay for the bird, or we pay for the birds, actually. And then we teach you the basics of pheasant hunting, and we get you some trap shooting experience before, and then we take you out there and a general area where it's going to be. And then from there, we kind of let you do your thing and have your experience. And then from there, we'll help you clean it and let you know how to, if you're wanting to keep those feathers, so what to do to preserve some of those feathers, things like that. So we kind of walk you through the start to finish in that program.
You know, I think a lot of people don't realize what a great resource that the Missouri Department of Conservation is, whether it's hunting or just outdoor activities. If you get the magazine, that's always a great bump. But usually people that you talk to that, maybe just moved to the country, maybe just got a couple of acres, you need to look into the Missouri Department of Conservation at their website and see all. I mean, listen to what Matt's talking about. There's so much, and it's great experiences, some of it outdoors, a lot of it outdoors. This is just a great opportunity to take advantage of what they offer. Don't you agree, Mark?
Oh, no, I would agree completely. In fact, Jay Hinges, where you are down there, Matt, my son, for I think 3 or 4 years, competed on Team Hinges, the trap shooting club that operates out of the Jay Hinges shooting range. And, I mean, what a fantastic experience for him. He was, I don't know, maybe 12 or 13 when he started, and it's safety first. That's what they drill into these kids' heads. But you've got, you've got 9-10-year-old kids out there learning to shoot trap with a shotgun, always safe. They're out there on Saturday morning starting in January when it's freezing. It builds character. I just can't say enough about all that particular program at Hinges.
Yeah, I agree. It's a great program. We enjoy having them. They've started up their season already, so Saturday mornings they're coming in early. And they're right there at opening gate and willing and ready to set up and get things rolling. So,
is this is this the first time you guys have put together a year long calendar like this? Because that's a lot of moving parts to organize. It's like herding cats.
Yeah. So in recent years, yes, I believe this is the first time we've done this. So, but we're trying to really kind of follow through with that start to finish and try and do a really full comprehensive program to where, you know, you feel empowered, to where you can go out and kind of remove those barriers, to where you can go out and feel like I can actually do this on my own. And so we want to be able to get people out there and to do that.
Well, let's talk quickly about the fly fishing that you got coming up. That's going to be in March as well. It looks like March 16th. I'm going salmon fishing, and they basically effectively fly fish for the salmon up there in Alaska. And I know a lot of people love to fish for trout. Tell people what that involves if they're interested in learning more about fly fishing.
Sure. So the fly fishing program is on March 16th. We'll be meeting at Augusta Bush Memorial area from 9 to noon. And so we kind of start from the basics. So work on fishing rod terminology, talk about the different parts of the fly rod, you know, reel, line weight, different tapers, all that stuff. So, you know, you hear a lot of, if you kind of go and hear the fly shop talk, it kind of seems intimidating, but we kind of break that down to where it's a lot more approachable and a lot more attainable. And so we have all the fly rods, we have flies, and we'll practice casting, which is a lot of hang-ups that people get is with their casting. And so we try and make it as simple as possible and break it down so, again, it is as attainable as possible. And then once you kind of feel comfortable doing some casting, we're at one of our educational lakes at Bush, and we hop on in and throw a fly out there.
That's fantastic. You know, my biggest challenge, I'm almost embarrassed to admit this.
Do it.
My biggest challenge with fly fishing these days.
Yeah, do it.
I went to Glacier National Park last summer. I took my fly rod.
The open water.
I had my waders on. I was out there. I was casting. And, of course, I snagged my fly. I snagged my fly on a tree, broke the line, and I had forgotten my glasses back in the car, and I could not get the line through the eye of that little fly without my glasses. I was blind.
Uh-huh.
So they're just one of the many things they probably teach you fly fishing day, that if you can't see up close, take your glasses, because those
Bring
flies are really small.
Now Matt has lesson number one.
Yeah. If you use glasses, be sure you take them, because that was certainly a big challenge. Well, I'll tell you what, Matt, that sounds like a fantastic program. I hope we've been able to give people sort of some insight on it here. And I guess the easiest thing to do for anybody who wants to sign up is just go to the website, right?
Correct. So to sign up, or just to even see what programs are available, you can go to MDC, so as in Missouri Department of Conservation, so mdc.mo.gov/events. Or if you just go to the Missouri Department of Conservation's main webpage, in the top right-hand corner, there's an events tab. You can click on that, and that'll take you to the main page. There's also a link to the hunter education skills courses that you can pick from. You can see all of the programs that are posted throughout the state, and then you can verify where you're at within the state and narrow it down to your region. But there are some pretty good ones that are worth traveling for, so keep an eye out for some of those, because sometimes around the state, it's worth going a little bit for.
Yeah, I'll bet. Well, Matt Murray, we certainly appreciate your time. Missouri Department of Conservation out there at Jay Hinges. He's an education center specialist. Listen, have a great summer, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you. You too. Hopefully we'll see you out there.
All right. We appreciate that. Yeah, that's Sebo, all kinds of things. I can learn to see my flies and tie them and all that stuff right there.
just remember your cheaters. You'll be fine.
I was so mad. I was knee deep in a beautiful river wanting to cast my fly rod, and I couldn't get the fly tied because
were you
I
done?
Couldn't see it.
Were you just done? You had to got out of there and went home?
No, I had to change to a bigger fly, which is not good because the fish feed on certain types of flies at certain times of the year, and I had bigger flies with me, but it wasn't the little, you know, tsetse looking fly that I was supposed to be fishing with at the moment. So that was a little embarrassing, I'll have to say.
Well, and you told it all about us on the radio.
to the world. Okay, man. We're keeping it real. That's what we do.
I think the coolest thing about the conservation department is they find the most patient people in the world to deal with all these first-time experiences. I mean, people don't know a thing about, you know, hunting or shooting or what. That's just crazy. Anyway, hats off to them for all they do.
Amen. Hey, that does it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
All right, buddy. Have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll see you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.